WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
CEO. Wait, that's the next segment. That's next segment. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio at Rack Radio. Rack Radio Show at Lintour. Come to WildTalkRadio.com. Rack Radio Show.com or twitch.tv/TheReachOut. Interact with us live. I mean, Brian, we talked about it on Sunday, and you gave a number. I mean, the needle. Anyway, we'll talk about it in like 20 minutes.
I was gonna say, does Brent get to express his opinions on it at all this week, or is he just doomed to be on Twitter?
I mean, he has a show on Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if he was going to get to talk about it on the show on Sundays or not.
Oh, we'll make sure to talk about it. Anywho, let's get into news.
All right, let's talk about the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. It is a light news week. Praise be. So, exciting news for the city of Cleveland. SummerSlam is headed to Cleveland, Ohio at the Cleveland Browns Stadium on August 3rd. So, congratulations to them.
Yeah, Logan Paul.
I think tickets are getting ready to go on sale.
They're getting ready to go on sale, so surely. Logan Paul announced it on his podcast that they're coming back to Cleveland. I think everyone knew they were coming back to Cleveland because it was revealed that Cleveland paid money. They got like a grant or some sort or whatever those things are that they get. That was released a couple weeks ago that WWE got some money. And Cleveland Browns Stadium right before... the NFL season kicks off and preseason football kicks off. They get use of the stadium, which is why it's early August, not late August like it used to be. We're now early August for SummerSlam because they're trying to hit the football stadiums, which is smart. Smart
you do. Know what? I'm fine with it being earlier. That's okay.
That's fine because they can round out their schedule in other ways.
I will say this. It's not going to be any cooler. Cleveland in August? Oof, no.
No. It's not going to be cooler, but at least it's outdoors at the stadium. It'll be 100 degrees. They'll be fine. They'll be sweating. And
well, that's why they have the climate-controlled ring, so they can just hit the AC and turn it on, and they'll be fine.
Everyone will be fine in the ring. Yeah, they're prepared, more prepared for it now than they were, I would say, 5 years ago. To be outdoors, because they're outdoors a lot more often.
They've learned. They're equipped.
They are equipped, so yeah. He was offering up Logan Paul versus LeBron James, and Hunter completely shot that down, because you're not going to get LeBron James to wrestle at a SummerSlam. It'd be cool if they did, they should shoot for the stars and get him to make an appearance, because that would be fun for the Cleveland people.
That would be fun.
We'll see if they can
get the Browns to show up too.
Oh, they may be busy. Browns may be busy, but who knows?
They can come on a Sunday. It's fine.
It's a
just
Saturday.
Just throw them on a bus. Bring them there. Tell them there's free beer. They'll show up. It'll be fine.
Too late. They can't. It's going to be a curfew because they got to be in bed by a certain point. That is a fact in the training camp.
They have a bedtime?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. WWE has been hot announcing the Hall of Famers for this year's class, and it very well might be a family affair this year, as the inductees so far announced are the U.S. Express, which is Wyndham and Mike Rotunda.
Yeah.
Barry Wyndham and Mike Rotunda.
Yeah, that's a cool introduction right there. There was a video Hunter put out where he was informing them that they're going in, which was really cool.
They were both overcome. They were both very excited and very pleased to be told that they're going in the Hall of Fame and to be recognized.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful moment for them. We'll see if anybody else in that family follows. I think they will.
Before you go on, apparently his name was on a list. So
his name was on a list
of like everyone that's been confirmed so far. So who knows if he makes it, but we'll see. Because if he makes it, there's him and someone else left to be put in for this class. We'll see.
We'll see. But, I mean, it would be cool if he and his dad go in together.
It would be.
That would be a very touching moment. It would. We'll see.
Yeah.
But joining them will be Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Thunderbolt Patterson.
I have no comment on Thunderbolt Patterson. Never seen men work. But apparently it was the Dusty Rhodes before Dusty Rhodes or something. He inspired a generation of people. But I'm too young to know who he was. So there's that. Muhammad Ali. I guess the celebrity wing. technically, kind of. He's not a traditional professional wrestler, sports entertainer. It makes a lot more sense, though. Now he was in WWE 2K24. Now available. Go buy it. Makes a lot of sense he was added into that, since they have his license for the Hall of Fame. It all adds up. Which is smart. Get him in there. But I have no problem with that. And it ties back to WrestleMania 1. So that's even cooler. You can tell this class is not a modern class of Mm-mm. Hall of Famers. Because unlike in terms of like the past few years, we've seen a lot more modern WWE superstars in the class. Last year was Rey Mysterio headliner. They've been trying to get Batista. But we got US Express, Muhammad Ali, Thunderbolt Patterson. We got Paul Heyman, who's the only active one. And Bull Nakano, who is not a modern inductee. So we're actually going for a legacy type class. If the other Wyndham goes in, then that would be a little bit more modern day. But beyond that, we've gone old school.
Which is good.
And it goes up, plays back to, they're not trying to draw for the Hall of Fame. They're just trying to produce a television show in the same building as SmackDown for the Hall of Fame. And at the centerpiece, if it is just Paul Heyman, he would, as the big headliner, he would be the centerpiece of the show. And he could talk up a room for 40 minutes by himself.
Easy. Like
The Undertaker did a couple of years ago. So I think that's the priority. You get the big headliner, and then you fill it out with others, which is a smart move. And you don't have to overdo
it. Which is kind of what it used to be.
Yeah, but they also overdid classes a little bit.
The thing, I think the biggest complaint about some of the past classes, and this is not to knock anybody that has ever gone in, but there have been issues of people going in where it's questionable just in terms of age. Are they too young to be going in? Not to say that, you know, there's an age limit on that, but it's when you're talking modern superstars, you're talking people who, you know, were just retired last year kind of thing. And there were some questionable ones in there, and it's like there'd be, and part of it was that more of the legacy stars, people like Bull Nakano, for example, who are very deserving of going in, are sort of being overlooked for the more modern superstars. And it's like, well, you know, you could wait on some people. I don't want to name any names, but, you know, you could wait literally on some of the modern superstars for a year or two and put more of your legacy stars in, because that's really what it's meant to be for, because you have time. Right now, for the sake of selling tickets, you want to make sure that you book as many top names as you can, so that way people will buy tickets and they'll come to the event. But with them now combining it with a SmackDown taping, you no longer have to worry about that. So, because I know that there have been complaints in the past about just some of the classes and the people going in, and it's like, well, what about this person? And what about this person? And what about this tag team? And what about this? Because a lot of like the stars of the 80s and 90s and earlier are kind of being overlooked for the more modern names. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it's okay either way. Like, I always enjoy the Hall of Fame. I enjoy the speeches, except for Mr. T. He's still looking for his mama.
He is
somewhere. Somewhere. You know, he's still talking about his mama somewhere. But like, I'm fine with it. And if they do what we think they're going to do, which is the both Wyndhams are going in, that will be a very sort of touching moment at the Hall of Fame.
It will.
Because that's really what it's meant to be, is to celebrate those that have come before us, those that have built the industry, those that have really given all that they can to the industry. And honor them for their achievements. Basically give them their flowers without giving them actual flowers. They get a ring.
Yeah, they get a ring, yeah.
They don't get flowers, they get a ring, which is, I guess, better. But yes, so far it's shaping up to be a pretty fun class, an interesting class. We'll see how the speeches go. And also just to the point, they have to slow down on the modern stars too, because they're running out. So
I mean, they haven't, but there's no, I don't think they're running out, because there's going to be a whole nother class of them coming.
There's going to be a whole nother class of them coming, but I think they have to slow, because we talked about this last year, that they kind of have to slow down a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit, just because they've been really going to that well a bit too much in terms of your more modern talent versus your more legacy talent. So could be that they're just backing off and they're going to give specific people or all the people in this class their due and let them shine. So you don't have people vying for attention. Because, well, you know, it was...
There really isn't many people who can vie for attention in this class.
So, because, like, in past years, it was like, who was it? Who went in with Trish? It was like an all-star class that went in with Trish.
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
But, like, it was just everybody was kind of fighting for attention and time and the speeches. And I think that's really the big thing, is the speeches. The speeches got ridiculously long, and everybody was just kind of sitting there like... Yeah, show to do tomorrow. Come on, hurry it up. So this way you don't have to worry about that, I don't think.
God, the Trish year. Ooh, that was a class. Headliner Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Backlund.
Mm-hmm.
Trish.
Mm-hmm.
Booker. Trump. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
That was your class.
Oh, God. No.
That was your class.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to, like, have that. Like, avoid that. At least for this year. Maybe not next year, but we'll see.
We'll see. It all depends who's available, because going in the future, you're going to have Batista, Rock, Cena as your headliners.
Be interesting when Rock goes in, now that he's on the board.
Yeah, but they'll have a year for him when he's done. Whenever this thing with Roman is done.
Done.
I think it'll be his swan song, and then he'll go in. Yeah, Batista,
I think that's next year.
Cena is, I think Rock is in 2 years probably. Cena is going to come up when he's done wrestling in his 50s or at 50, so he's a couple years away. You're going to have names, and then you're going to have the Mizes of the world and stuff like that who deserve to go in when they're done. You have a class, you have people, Randy, AJ, you're going to have headliners, but they're about 5 to 10 years away.
Yeah, so you have to sort of buff in between. Mm-hmm.
What else we got?
Well, we were talking about Rey Mysterio. Let's talk about Dominic Mysterio. He got married over the weekend, so congratulations to him. He got booed at his own wedding.
Thanks to Damian Priest. Damian Priest was behind it.
Go, Damian. Well done. Well played.
Yeah. Congrats to Dom and his girlfriend. Not Rhea Ripley.
Not Rhea Ripley. Looked like it was a beautiful affair.
Yeah.
It really did. From the limited pictures of video I've seen, it looked like it was a lovely, lovely affair. Moving on, WWE and Prime have struck a record-setting global partnership that will see Prime Hydration become the exclusive official hydration drink partner of WWE and the first partner to ever appear on the center of the WWE ring as WWE's exclusive official hydration drink partner. Jesus Christ, that's a mouthful. Prime Hydration will receive unprecedented exposure and integration within key WWE assets, highlighted by never before seen center mat branding at premium live events such as WrestleMania and Money in the Bank. Further, Prime Hydration will earn key brand placement within WWE events, including WrestleMania and Survivor Series, match sponsorships, co-presenter designations at future PLEs, product activations at live events, social support from WWE superstars across retail and digital activations, and more. Additionally, Prime Hydration will be the first official partner to activate across both TKO companies. This is huge.
Yeah, yes and no. No, like, it's a huge thing, and he's had the big deal with UFC, and that kind of helped his Prime brand, and now it's here with WWE. But they're going to be on the mat. Sacred mat. It's going to be interesting.
Nobody gets on the mat.
Vince never allowed it.
Well, proof he's gone.
It's proof it's gone. I'm surprised they did the mat. I really am.
I'm a little surprised they did the mat, but I'm also like, if you're going to go for it, go for it. Ask for it.
Especially with the invention, with everything LED now, I'm surprised it's the mat. Because we saw it on SmackDown, the bottle in the ring, probably in the center. It's a logo. I know it has to be in color. If it was black and white, I could take it more. I know AEW's had it, New Japan's had ads all over their branding for years. UFC's had it for ages. And you really don't notice it, but you do notice it. I don't know. I'm not sure how I ultimately feel about it. Good on them for getting running. Good on Logan Paul and everything like that. But I don't know.
I mean, looking at the bottle logo, realistically, you could do a black or white logo, or you could just do the Prime, just the word Prime across the mat. Like, you could do it.
But they're not, because that's not the branding of it. Like, that's the difference. I don't know.
Looking at a picture of it on the center of the ring mat from the San Diego Union Tribune from the story, and I mean, it's not the worst thing I've seen.
No.
It's not great, but it's not the worst thing I've seen. And it's only going to be there for PLEs, so it's not awful.
For now.
But it's more product integration. It's more marketing. It's more money.
Oh, yeah. That's everything it's about. It's all about the money. With our next story.
Our next story. Well, WWE has signed its first spirit sponsorship with Wheatley Vodka, putting the brand as the official vodka of WrestleMania 40. According to the Sports Business Journal, the deal includes live event brand integrations on both nights of WrestleMania, inclusion in the event's kickoff show, social and digital media executions. That is a... Oh, God, I hate when they use that word. And a sweepstakes promo. As part of the deal, Wheatley will also be the sponsor of an upcoming 6-part series on WWE digital channels featuring Cody Rhodes, and a Wheatley-branded tour bus will be in the series.
Yep. That's.
Are they going to be giving out free samples? I'm just curious.
Maybe. Possibly.
I mean, imagine. You know, okay, so here's the thing. Remember when they were talking about one of the WrestleMania, I guess it was like the kickoff party or something for like the ticket sales or something? Mm-hmm. And they were talking specifically about vodka. I was like, why are they talking about vodka? Well, why? And vodka-infused drinks.
Yeah.
It was weird in the press release. It's like, why are they hitting that? And now it makes sense. Mm-hmm. They have a vodka sponsorship. Of course they do.
Of course.
So it was just weird.
So,
but
money.
Money, more money. They're bringing in that money. They're bringing in those brand sponsors. And it's something everybody can enjoy because it's vodka. Actually, if they're giving out samples, imagine you make like a Prime drink with vodka.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now you're just going overboard here.
Why? It's a party, right?
Well, there's kids.
Yes, there's kids.
Kids get the Prime and the adults get the vodka. There you go.
Well, the adults could get both.
Okay, it's fair.
I mean, you know, the kids can have the Prime, that's fine. And as long as you drink responsibly, there's nothing wrong with it.
Always drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly, get a DD. Enjoy your night. Moving Uber. On, we talked about Dominic Mysterio getting married. Let's talk about Tennille Dashwood and Mike Rallis, aka Riddick Moss. They also got married, so congratulations to them.
Yeah,
looks like it was a lovely affair.
Long time coming for the two of them, so congrats.
It has been. Because I think, didn't they get engaged 2 years ago?
Like that, maybe. Something like that.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they got engaged, and right after they got engaged, or right before they got engaged, they got let go.
That would sound about right. Yeah.
That I feel like that's what happened. Like, they got engaged and then they both got let go.
Sounds about it.
Sounds about right. But congratulations to them. I hope they enjoyed. I hope they had fun. The pictures were beautiful, and I hope they have a lovely life together.
There you go.
We don't have any blame Brents.
No.
He was well behaved this week.
Apparently.
Wow.
I know.
So I say we take our break then.
Let's do it.
And when we come back, we have some business, three syllables we have to talk about, which is Mercedes Moné's debut for AEW. You're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you know you can use to support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go,
go,
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the other way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you.
CEO, 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 CEO.
And now we're going to do something that we rarely do about on this show. We're yes. going to talk about AEW.
And why are we talking about AEW?
Well, I don't know. I think some busyness, three syllables, happened last night in Boston, where Tony Khan banked and was looking to make some money with the debut of one Mercedes Moné.
So I'll get the quick recap out, and then we'll do all the discussion of it. So, show open. Renee Paquette is doing this big introduction that they've never done before, just so that they could have a car roll up. What type of car? A Mercedes. There was your hint. And then she came out in Boston to a huge ovation. Mostly. Fans chanting, even before he came, she came out, they were chanting CEO, because the music told them to chant CEO. So was that real? Anyway, she came out and she got a promo, happy to be here, looking forward to do all these things, talked about her career and growing up here, we're starting there, etc. She mentioned the revolution and a global revolution for AEW. She's here to help lead it and all those things. She got the big applause. She got the dance. She came out the end to help save Willow Nightingale, which I'm going to put this to Brent in chat. Who's Willow Nightingale's partner? Because if you watch the TV show on Wednesday, her partner wasn't out there to help her, which would have made more sense than instead of Mercedes. But you had Mercedes attack Julia Hart and Sky Blue at the end of the show. And she got to celebrate. They had the acknowledgement of, you know, Willow and Mercedes' history. And Willow gave her the ring and all the respect. And everything was cool because they're baby faces. So everything's fine. That's what happened. Now we're going to talk about it overall. That's a general summary of what happened. Now let's really dive deep into it. Oh, she got jumped in the back of an internet exclusive. Oh, that would have helped on television to see that.
Yeah, I was going to say that would probably make sense to have that. I don't know, on TV. Just a thought. Not have it be an internet exclusive because not everybody's looking at the internet during your show.
Anyway. So what was your reaction to everything that transpired last night at Big Business for AEW Dynamite?
Okay, I'm going to say this first before I give my actual opinion. I'm very happy for Mercedes. I hope this works out for her. I hope she enjoys it. I hope she has fun. I hope this does everything that AEW wants it to do. And I mean that most sincerely, because this is a huge get for them. This is a great thing that they're doing, that they're bringing her in. She will help to elevate the women's division. She should help to do a lot of things for that company. That being said, I was left feeling just a tad bit underwhelmed by the debut. Here's why. Because I feel like, to me, it did not have the impact that it should have had. It did not feel like as big of a deal as it should have. I have long said, maybe not on the show, but at least to Brent and Rock, when the rumor started, when basically it was all but confirmed that they had Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, whatever you want to call her, under contract, that they should have announced it, that they should be making this big, huge, epic level deal that they have signed Mercedes Moné and that she's going to be in Boston. And if you want to see her, you have to come to Boston. That's where she's debuting. That you advertise the ever living shit out of the fact that you have her and that she's going to be there, and you really sell it. And they didn't do that. They dropped hints on social media, and that's fine. They basically did what they did for Punk, which is they dropped hints, and they had her dropping hints, or she was doing it on her own. I'm not sure which, but it led up to this kind of sort of wah wah moment for me, where it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Mercedes. Yay. Where it didn't feel like a big deal as it should have. Because I think for me, it didn't have the oomph. It lacked the oomph.
Oh, that's very understandable.
And I've also said that it's like, in terms of advertising her, in terms of making a big deal out of her, in terms of saying you have her, you can set up things with her before she ever sets foot on your product, where you can have the women's division begin to get a little pissed because it's all about her, right? All about Mercedes. You know, you have your Toni Storms and your Chris Statlanders and your Willow Nightingales and your Pages and all these women who have been busting their butts for AEW, right? Who are supposed to be big deals for AEW, right? But who's it all about? All about Mercedes. Because she's the next big get. She's the next big signing, and she's coming in, right? So you have her debut to this epic level debut, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. You have her come out. You have her cut the I'm so grateful to be here promo, because it was a fine promo. But you know what you should have had happen at the end? You should have had one of the two girls that she attacked at the end of the show come out and get in her face and basically be like, we don't want you here. Nobody asked for you. We've built this on our own. We don't need you. Leave. And get in her face about it. And you could have Willow come out and maybe support her. And that sets up your whole bit at the end of the show as to why Mercedes comes out and saves Willow from the other two that were trying to basically do shenanigans. That's okay. How you could have booked that. And that would have been a hook that it's, hey, where you have Mercedes be like, don't worry, I got your back. And Willow's like, don't worry, I got your back. But they didn't do that.
Yeah, they didn't do that. I'll address that in a minute, Element. Continue.
And instead, what happened was you have Mercedes come out. You have her give the promo. It was a wonderful promo. She's very overwhelmed. The crowd was very happy to see her. It's a lovely moment for her. I mean that sincerely. But then everybody tuned out because they thought she was done. Nobody believed that she was going to show up in the main event. And you didn't have, and aside from like offhanded mentions of her for the rest of the show, she didn't turn up. She didn't show up. You should have at least had her in one to two backstage segments.
You had one. Appeared right with Riho really quickly right before the match. That was it.
You should have done more.
Yeah.
Like this night should have, and if that's not what she wanted, that's fine. I respect it, but this night should have been all about Mercedes. She should have been all over your TV product. It should have been made about her. Because again, like I said earlier, that sets up stuff with the women's division, especially other women who were there previously, who maybe, I don't know, built the division, built AEW, are part of the foundation of AEW, might get a little pissed.
They're called pillars.
They're called pillars.
Yeah, the pillars.
You know,
Britt's a pillar of the division. Just anyway, continue.
She's a whatever her moniker is. That you eventually could build a feud between Britt and Mercedes if you wanted, but that's not what they did. They didn't really do much with Mercedes after she showed up at the opening of the show, which personally I like that they opened with her. That was very smart. That's what you needed to do, because everybody's tuning in to see if she's there. You don't want to wait the whole show to see her. So you know what? You bring her on. You have her do her thing. Everybody gets to see her. But then you keep sprinkling her throughout the night, whether she's showing up just in the background or she's walking around talking to people. You make a big deal out of her. And again, you have those interactions with the people in the main event to set up the fact of why she's doing that. Because, you know, having Chris Statlander get beat up on an internet exclusive and nobody sees it, it doesn't make any sense.
I didn't know it existed, and I watched the product and I followed the product on Twitter.
Yeah. So it's like the fact that he didn't know is like, well, that just, you know, basically Mercedes saying, oh, Chris got beat up, let me go help Willow. That makes a hell of a lot more sense.
It does. Than it makes just sense.
Than what happened.
Okay. So, few things. Them bookending the show with Mercedes was they booked that correct. LeMans asked, don't watch AEW, but have they been treating the women's division better than in the past and actually given them matches and time now? They've always gotten time. So one thing AEW has given them is time. Whether is it past more than one match a show? Not as often as you would hope, but they've always been given their time, and we all know when the segment would air and whatnot. With Mercedes here, they now have to find more time for the women, and it's going to be very difficult. Mercedes coming in and them wanting to improve the women's division is a really good thing, but, and this is a big but, AEW has just brought in some of the biggest signings they've ever had. And they need to be on television too. Okada and Ospreay need to be on television too as big stars on this show. AEW booked this show perfectly. Minus, you know, the backstage segments as Lindsay mentioned. But from a booking standpoint, this was the best built AEW show in a long time. With one, I'll get to the exception of it. Because you open with Mercedes, the big moment, the star, right? Got her out there, did everything. Then you gave the fans a world championship match with Samoa Joe and Wardlow. Then
can we just say poor Wardlow? Can we just say that?
No, because it's been that way for a while. Okay, so you follow that up with your hottest star, Swerve Strickland, coming out after the Joe match. So you're getting star after star on this show. Then the Bucks and Okada come out and they have a match. So you've gotten your big stars out there. Then you followed it up with Will Ospreay promo. So you're getting star after star. And then you got Jay White and Darby Allin. More stars. Then you put Jericho even out there.
Dude, the internet has turned on Jericho.
Good. They realized it. But poor Hook. He's in a feud. He's in the program with Jericho. Poor Hook. And then you had Willow and Riho in the main event. Okay. This is the flaw in the system. You went star after star after star after star and star. That was great. That was perfect. That was great booking because you kept the eyeballs, in theory, on the show. When you look at the chart, not so much. But the idea, and it worked. That was the right way to book it. Willow versus Riho, when Riho is not a regular on television, because Japan and everything, was the wrong main event for a show that you're going to have. You need a stronger main event in that spot. I don't know what you would have booked because a lot the stronger stars are in programs that aren't you couldn't use. Like a Toni Storm segment, they could have done Toni Storm versus Deonna rematch in that spot. That should have been like a big main event. You needed a bigger women's main event because in theory, Rhea and Willow are two baby faces in your main event, so it's not the most engaging in theory match. That was the flaw. Other creative booking aside, that was a flaw in the plan because you needed a bigger match. You should have had Mercedes more involved in the product. But as I read off everything before that, there was one 45-second Deonna Purrazzo promo where she talked about doing other things with Toni Storm on Collision. There's no other women featured all the way throughout the show. So you kind of need it more. There was also an Adam Cole thing and early on. So you had another name there too. And you had an Edge video mixed in there as well. So you had a lot of, you showed your hand. Here's what to watch. Here's what to come back for. Smart. Now going back to Mercedes and the whole buildup, and you mentioned how they should have promoted her. You realize they could have. They really could have. And then you look at it and go, well, what the people tuned in and then tuned out. So they got the hand. And they did a lot of last-minute social media push. They banked on her social media presence to get people to tune in. And she tweeted multiple things, and she did an interview, and like she was hinting big business in the last few days. So it was like, there's the teases. AEW's biggest flaw in their end of promotion was they promoted the show called Big Business in Boston. They could have said, coming up in Boston, we have a big signing to announce. And that would have got people to tune in a little bit more. They never did that. Even in all the promotion and social media push, they didn't mention anything. Here's my major. Tony loves his major announcement and did not pull the trigger on this one.
Because he actually had a major announcement.
He actually had a major announcement and didn't pull the trigger on it. That could have helped. Then you go to Mercedes promo. Solid. Set at the point of what she wants to do, kind of. Couple things. One, it was Mercedes Renato, I think how to pronounce her last name, who cut the promo. It wasn't Mercedes Moné cutting the promo. There was no CEO in any of that until the very end. You needed more of the CEO character. And when they hire a writer to come in and work specifically for her, you could have done more in that department. Number two, or whatever number we're on the stage, I forgot. The concept worked with Phil at First Dance because it had been years that he was gone from professional wrestling. He was a star that has been that disappeared and came back. Mercedes got hurt wrestling for New Japan. This was her first time on U.S. television in a couple of years, which is a big deal. But she's still not, she never disassociated herself with business. She was always a part of it. She is a star. She is an attraction. She is everything you want for the company. They had her out at TNT's basketball game tonight in the crowd, which is smart.
She did interviews too.
Yeah, she did. She did local TV in Boston. Boston today, which is all the smart idea because I think they're coming back to the market soon or whatever, New Chicago. But because Phil worked doesn't mean it'll work all the time. And if you think about how she cut her promo, there was a lot of the Phil promo when he came back without the edge and anger and frustration. The happy go be here part was all there. There was no aggression. There was no future looking at things. One thing they got right with the Phil promo, they had a match planned for him. Darby Allin, All Out, in what, 3 weeks from that point? 2 weeks, 3 weeks from that point? Or a week and a half from that point? They had something to promote, something to push. She didn't set her eyes on anything or anyone. She slightly mentioned Willow Nightingale because Willow's the one who injured her accidentally to put her out for a year. And then she became the babyface that saved her at the end. You need it. More CEO in the promo. The hook for next week of what she's doing is, we'll hear from Mercedes Moné next week on Dynamite. Cool. Smart to promote her for next week. Hopefully more people tune in and stay hooked for her stuff. But you needed the hook, and you're missing it to keep you there. And that's why people tuned out, because she mentioned the women are in the main event, meaning she'll be here for the main event. But the numbers show no one cared about the main event for her to stick around for. It was a negative. Like Lindsay mentioned, I hope she does really well here. There's a potential to do really good things. I mentioned at the start of whatever this is that there's only so much time on a television show to focus on all the people you brought in recently, and also give a spotlight to the women. You need a balance. You need a major balance to figure that out. Because Ospreay needs time. Swerve needs time. Bucks need time. Cole needs time. Samoa Joe, your champion, needs time. Okada, Ospreay, White. They all need time. But there's 2 hours. And there was no BCC on the show. You're missing people from the show. That's why WWE does it right in terms of brand separation. You got to highlight who's going to be on Dynamite every week, and the stars need to be on it. If you start putting these people on Collision, no one's watching it. That's kind of your problem. Where you have all this talent now and you're running out of real estate. So I don't know. It was good.
I mean,
it wasn't.
Maybe he negotiates a third hour.
No, you don't need a third. No, no, no.
Never know. He said there's big things coming, so...
You don't,
maybe they get a third hour.
No, they have hours. They have plenty of hours. They just no. You don't need a third hour.
Sacrifice Collision for a third hour.
Sacrifice Rampage for a third hour. You don't have 3 hours. I don't know. It was good. The debut was good, but it was not one of those.
It was not impactful.
It's not going to be a moment that you're going to go, oh my god, this was amazing. It was good. It wasn't blow away. There wasn't a highlight of the promo you can repeat going, that's legendary. But you can remember everything Punk said because Punk had a mission statement. We heard Mercedes' life story last week. And maybe that the long goal is to tell her story. And that'd be great.
Oh no, another finish the story.
Always finishing the stories. Always writing new chapters.
Yeah, I just, from my standpoint, the one thing, and granted, I do not watch the product. I will be first and foremost, so this is not a judgment on the product itself. But the one thing that AEW did really, really well in the beginning of the promotion that they do not do well now is that they were very heavy into the marketing. They were very heavy in terms of getting their branding and their commercials and their advertising and everything out there. And they were really reliant on that to bring people in the beginning. And the one thing that I've seen drop off over the last couple of years with AEW is their marketing efforts, where you don't see the commercials popping up anymore. You don't see the ads. You don't see things coming in for them. And maybe it's just that I'm not on the right algorithm, but I'm not seeing anything get fed for them. And so, especially with someone like Mercedes, who will pull numbers, who will pull eyeballs, who has that star quality. You know, you had her out today doing local media in Boston. You could have had her out yesterday on local media in Boston. You could have had her the whole time that you've been pumping her up, doing press, doing media, giving quotes, doing all this thing and getting her name out there and talking about how, yes, she's joining AEW. She's excited to be a part of AEW. She's leading a global revolution. You could have had her hit every single point in her promo in an interview as you're building up to her debut in Boston and really, really, really tried to put some eyeballs on your product in terms of her being there. And that's not what they did. They're more relying on social media, on internet teases, and that kind of thing. And what's hurting them is the fact that social media was not what it was 5 years ago when AEW started. There have been changes in Twitter, in Facebook, in Instagram. TikTok's getting ready to shut down, maybe. You know, it's that kind of stuff where it's social media is not what it was and it's not as reliant for promotion as what it used to be. And so you need to find other ways to promote your product and get your product out there. And I just don't see them doing that. And I feel like that was a huge missed opportunity with her specifically, because she has that name value, right?
Yeah.
Like she has that star quality. She has that name value. Even if you don't recognize her as Mercedes Moné, you know her as Sasha Banks.
Okay.
I'm gonna know who she is.
I'm going to cut you off really quick. There's a 13-minute interview on AEW social with her right now. Why, like, this should be television stuff, not social. Her and Renee sitting down, that should be a TV thing, not social media thing.
Yeah, you could have done all of this to the lead up.
Yeah.
All of this, you know, have her sitting down with Renee as she's getting ready to debut. Fuck, you could have done like a whole series with her. I mean, if you want to rely on social through YouTube, you could do shorts with her, getting ready for her debut, following her around, going through her day of getting her costume, preparing her entrance, training, all these different things of her getting ready for her AEW debut, showing how important it is, showing how big it is, showing all of those different things, just to emphasize the point that she's going to be there and you're going to want to see it.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to stick around to see what she does.
Yeah, one thing before we get out of here. I hope Brent caught this part. Right, so when she was walking down the aisle, did you hear the line they tried to wedge in? Because they can't leave anything well alone to history.
Oh, God, what did they do?
But which side is she on? They try to pull out the Hogan line from Bash at the Beach. Because they were trying to put it off, like, will she attack Willow? But which side is she is on as she's knocking out the other person? That was in the entranceway. Can we leave history alone sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are the same people who gave Sting a backhanded compliment as he was retiring, so...
It was in there. Like, it was in the commentary. I heard it, and I went, really? We're doing that as a line? I just... Something about it just... I don't know. Trying to find it really quick. But it was in there. It was like, oh, we're going to throw that line into the thing. And I was like, oh, can we just not force it? But we forced it. And that's
kinda... We're going to force it in. We're going to wedge it in there, man. Whose side is she on? I like the piped in chants. The piped in chants are a nice effect.
Oh, aren't they?
I'm sorry. I know people were chanting for her, but you could tell those were very blatantly piped in.
It's in the song. It's the song. Because they panned the crowd sometimes, and yeah, they weren't chanting. But yeah, they wedged that line in. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll keep an update on it. Brent's going to be having comments on Sunday all about it.
I may have to tune in to hear Brent's comments. This will be interesting to hear.
I think we're done.
I think we're done. So you got stuff to plug. So plug away.
Speaking of Brent, tomorrow night at 10:30-ish p.m. Eastern, hopefully before, but most like around 10:30, whenever Brent decides to get home from work, we're going to be live with the debut of GM Battles. We're going to have the first ever GM Battle draft. We're going to have the first few weeks of booking. We're going to go back for an hour or so, see how many weeks we can get through. It is GM Battles Friday nights right here at twitch.tv/WTLive.
Will there be smack talk?
Of course there's going to be smack talk. Yeah, there's going to be smack talk.
I just have so to make sure.
Come at us all in chat tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, for GM Battles. Of course, Brent. Of course. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is WTR Game Night featuring, I think, Fortnite this week, followed by CB Radar live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, Brent rants about Mercedes Moné's debut.
Ding.
At 10 p.m. Eastern on WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. Sunday and Monday night is Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday and Wednesday is the Tuesday should be the finale of WWE 2K24 Showcase Mode. We're going to kick it off with the Firefly Funhouse around 10 p.m. Eastern. Maybe earlier, depending how I feel that night. We'll see. Maybe 9:30. Just keep your notifications on when we go live for WWE 2K24 Showcase. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to finish the story next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. That is what we're doing. We're talking about a book next week, chat. So tune in for that. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search the Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your account. It's called Prime Games. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocketstock or
Lynn's M. Ward.
When you buy your Lego sets and your battle passes and more. Because we are.
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLynn'sWard. You can follow me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/LynnsWard. And for right now, on TikTok, LynnsWard0. We'll see how long it lasts. But yeah, I'm over there too. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can go check out our good buddy Matt over at mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. He does some amazing content. So go tell him we said hi, like his channel, subscribe to it, and enjoy his stuff because he's a lovely, lovely person. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye. Hey! WildTalkRadio.com.